I'd like to call the special meeting to order August 13th. It's 5:02. This is the special meeting to discuss resolution 240. Amber, could you call the roll?
Archer.
Here.
Gronk.
Present.
Bartels.
Here.
Tavares. Haynes.
Here.
Mayo. Walter.
Here.
And Gavaris is with us now.
Oh, good. There's John. Welcome, John.
Computer problems. I couldn't sign in.
Okay. Ken, since you have to exit, why don't you start off by telling us some of the concerns that you have with regards to what's being proposed?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of my concern revolves around the fact that, A, it's a new tax at a time when I don't think we can really afford to be levying new taxes, even though we're in financial, dire financial straits. I think that other folks in Ulster County are as well. Just typical residents are struggling. And some of these folks may have to move away because of the struggles from coronavirus, the loss of jobs, loss of income. So they're going to have to sell their house, which, quite frankly, for a lot of people is their largest piece of equity, their largest piece of their own net worth. And now as they're having to move away, we're going to tax them on the way out. I know that last time there were several proposals that were brought up, such as, setting a dollar limit, such as Columbia County has, I think, a $200,000 threshold for the transfer tax. Anything under doesn't qualify for the transfer tax. Everything over qualifies for it. Example that somebody had used was a minimum, residency time period. I think, if I remember correctly, because it was a lot of meetings ago, just last month, but there was a proposal that would, talk about, age, perhaps, people over a certain age wouldn't qualify for the transfer tax. Councilor Ragucci had mentioned that he thought we could do that with the current home rule request, that we could still craft our transfer tax, under the, same subsection of the law as we were attempting to amend it to. Nick and I have had several conversations about it where it's our belief that we would need special legislation. It wouldn't be the same as just enacting a transfer tax under the current authority that other counties have to levy a transfer tax. We would need special legislation, and we would need to decide the parameters, and we'd need to make sure that the parameters that we're using are permissible under state finance law. So those are a lot of my concerns. I don't know that I would support levying a transfer tax at this time under any circumstances, quite frankly, but I wanted to levy those concerns that we have.
Okay.
I know that was a lot.
It is, yes. And I did hear the concern about a long-time resident who's at this juncture selling their home. One of the things that we could do is waive transfer tax for STAR folks that are STAR signed up for the STAR tax. So
yeah, for the primary residents, essentially.
Right,
yeah,
exactly. So which could potentially address the concerns. I believe, John, you had concerns about that as well in the last meeting. Was there something that you felt that would preclude us from putting through something like this?
No, but it would not be in its current form. We would need to draft a separate home rule request requesting special legislation. And in our request, we would need to delineate exactly what we would want the parameters to be. Nick, correct me if I'm wrong on that.
Yeah, no, Ken, I think what we would need to do is you could maybe do it by amendment of the current request to the state, just to make sure that the exemptions that you're requesting are built into the enabling legislation that's ultimately passed at the state level. And I did speak to Chris about that, and I think we were in general agreement on that process. And we would just need guidance from the committee on what those exemptions might be that you'd want to build in.
Chair Donaldson?
I think Eve had her hand up before me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see that, Eve.
That's okay. I just need some clarifications. So the resolution is to adopt a local law, but this is just for the real estate transfer, but not for, sorry, I have to go back to get the mortgage recording tax. We're only talking about the real estate transfer and not mortgage recording. Correct. And is there a reason why, based on the comptroller's report, we're only looking at one of the two, or is it that we have to do these separately?
I guess I could answer that somewhat. When we first started looking at this, my mindset was, you know, people trying to get into a house and doing a mortgage tax added on. They already have all these other type, you know, mortgage taxes from the villages and the town and the city and I think even the state. I didn't really want to pile on. I mean, trying to get into a house is kind of difficult. You know, particularly in today's world. I mean, people getting married, they have a child, you know, they're going to have kids, they want a house, and it makes it pretty tough. So I think it's easier to pay when you're selling it. In other words, you're selling it, so it's not going to hold somebody up from getting a house, shall we say, because it comes from the seller's side.
Can I continue?
Yes, please.
Lisa, thank you. So I guess I feel like, you know, we have a big problem where people are buying up houses for use of Airbnb rentals and that kind of thing, and not necessarily even living here. I guess I wonder whether we can reconsider both of these taxes, but with the parameters of, again, like the income threshold or the cost threshold. I think 200,000 is kind of low, but you know, people who are purchasing homes maybe over $400,000, you know, it becomes a whole different category of home buyers than those who are up to $400,000. So I support the sort of a threshold for the cost of the home, but I also would like us to sort of considering this mortgage recording tax again with a kind of threshold. We want to encourage people who are buying these lower cost homes to be coming and not have an added penalty. But at these higher level properties, I think that we could be gaining, not only gaining support, but I think about how some of the different municipalities have used it. It's kind of the concept we use in the village of rec fees. It's like when they're coming here, they're going to be having added demands upon our county. And so including them in the mortgage recording tax would say, you know, contribute a little bit to the costs it takes to provide you the services that this county provides you, that it seems reasonable to consider asking them as well.
Well, can I respond?
Yes, go ahead.
A little bit?
Yes.
Yeah, the mortgage tax, we don't have a mortgage tax in the county, but we are, you know, we got a fee for being the bag man, shall we say. That's the reality. We do get a fee for doing it. So it's not costing us anything to collect it for the city and the towns and the village and have you. And I don't know. I find that as I realize that the city of Kingston and the towns really rely on that money. And in fact, right now, I don't know if you saw in Bloomberg, article that the City of Kingston real estate is being sold at, it's the fastest selling real estate in the country, not the state, the country. So it's, you know, kind of crazy right now. Too bad we didn't have this thing in line now. We would be collecting some serious money. And
well, that's only if you have inventories, and inventory is limited. So it's a plus and a minus. And a part of why it's so high is because we also have low inventory. So I think it's important to kind of look at the whole picture.
But I kind of agree with some of the mindset that, you know, perhaps before the seller tax or this the transfer tax kicks in, it could, you know, have a threshold maybe of 200,000. After the 200,000, that would be, then they would be collecting. I also have I understand that, you know, people live in their houses for, you know, like I've been in my house for almost 40 years now, I think. So, you know, when I sell it, should I pay a transfer tax? I mean, I don't mind it. I mean, I've been here, no big deal, but I can certainly understand that some people, that's their only, you know, that's their really only real asset that they have. So when they're selling it, you know, that could be, you know, when grandma sells the house, and I'm grandpa now, I guess, you know, when I sell the house, I think, you know, should I have to pay that tax? I've been here for 40 some years paying taxes all along. Well, I certainly see Legislator Guevara's point, and I think we can fix something in that. I think maybe if you've been in the house for 15 years, or if you've had to own the home for 15 years and you're selling, then you should be not have to pay the transfer tax.
I think the way we can get at that to address the concerns is if you're star exempt, then it would be waived. Because I think that's the, if you're star exempt, that gets to the value of the home, that gets to your income level, that gets to all the concerns that were raised by John with regard
to. But isn't everybody somewhat star exempt? Once you get to a certain,
you mean enhanced star.
Enhanced star. Thank you.
Oh, all right. Now, can somebody explain the? I know. Does anybody know what that threshold is with the enhanced star?
And we could check on it, but for some reason, 70,000 is sticking in my head. But I may be wrong.
That's the income?
That may be. But I will double check on that. I'm not sure.
But there's an age part of that too, right?
It's age as well.
I'm sorry, Heidi. What did you say, Heidi?
86,000. You must have earned no more than 86,000 to be eligible. I have to check the age.
March. Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for setting up this meeting and for taking this idea seriously. I wanted to bring you a revenue opportunity because of our financial situation. I urge you to think about, if you're going to exempt certain people, that the revenue calculations here were based on the fact that Nina's shop, the clerk's office, processed 6,106 transfers in 2019, okay? But that's an average transfer price of $195,000. So when you set a threshold of several hundred thousand dollars for a house, you're cutting out a huge amount of your revenue. So we need to think about that. And I do not have the list of transactions from Nina right now to tell you exactly how many fall under that. I will say that the NYSAR data from just this June that people were referring to, that was in the Bloomberg work, really showed that the current price, which is a median price for Ulster, is at 275. Okay, so that gives you an idea. Obviously, transfer tax also captures commercial properties, not just residential. While residential inventory is very constrained, it covers everything. So I wanted to mention those aspects to you. And then also to think about if you have a seller selling a house for $200,000, the full impact of the tax that they're going to pay is a few hundred dollars. It's $400. It's not excessive. So I just wanted to throw those things out there for you to think about. Thank you.
Legislator Guevaras.
Is that report available in some type of Excel format that we could actually drill it down and see what the different combinations would result in? Does anybody know?
Well, we could check with the clerk. I'm not sure what level of detail she has. Marge, I don't know if you guys know when you were doing that or you just got...
I used her annual report, and my estimate is based on the state, how much revenue the state took in, because the state charges double what was proposed in this resolution. Mm-hmm. So it's easy to take their number and have it.
So, maybe I missed it. Do we have a good number of counties that are charging a mortgage tax?
Only five counties charge a mortgage. I mean,
that's in Niagara.
Only five counties charge a real estate transfer tax. 26 okay. counties charge a mortgage reporting tax. Five counties charge a real estate transfer tax. They are Broome, Columbia, Essex, Tompkins, and Erie County. They charge slightly different rates. The rate that was put forward in this resolution mirrors the rate in Columbia, Essex, and Thompson's. That is $1 per 500, or really $2 per 1,000 in value, is an easier way to think about it.
So that's on the transfer tax, but the mortgage tax, do they charge, how many counties are charging a mortgage tax where the county is taking a percentage and
26
not
counties charge a mortgage recording tax.
And so they not just a fee, which is what we're doing, correct?
Correct. 26 counties charge a mortgage recording tax. Most of those counties charge 25 cents per $100 in value.
And do they also distribute to the municipalities?
Yes, that's state law.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Lynn, my hand's up.
I'm sorry. Thank you.
So I'll just, we'll reiterate that I think, again, can the discussion of considering both of these taxes, I do think, I mean, if the median is 275, then that means that half of them are over that. And so if we set it at something like 250 or 200, we have at least half of them are going to be eligible for it. And it is possibly that that middle ground that would make this acceptable at this time. Zero is a lot less than half. And so, I think that, I would like to consider we might, just so that we have this, as a resolution that would be acceptable to for all parties, consider having some kind of threshold that recognizes, because even if it's someone who's, even if it's a small amount, for some of these people who still have a mortgage, who still owe money, they may not be getting that much from the sale of their house, especially at the lower income. There may be very little that they get left. And so I feel like it feels more comfortable if we are considering this as somewhat more expensive homes, but also I'd like to just regroup on the idea of considering both taxes.
If I may, the 275 number was the June 2020 median. The median for the entire quarter of the year was only 235. It may make sense for us to work out some sort of median over 2020 or median over 2019 and 2020. I think June, to rely on the June median, there was some sort of exception there. And we know that there were, transactions where there were bidding wars. And I don't think that's a good price to use. I think we need to look at a longer range of time. Just a thought.
Sorry, one more thing, thank you, is also I think that this becomes more palatable if we, and we may not do this, but in some of these cases, the counties identify what this funding is used for. And so it might be responsible for us to suggest, you know, I mean, is this to invest in affordable housing? Is this, you know, if there's something that we are actually explaining what this is going to support, or even if it's this idea of supporting in terms of the mortgage one, that it's supporting the type of infrastructure that's available in Ulster County. But I think it's helpful to have that context.
March.
Lynn, if I could just bring everybody up to speed, the Broome, Columbia, and Tompkins taxes goes to the general fund, while Essex and Nassau have targeted it to specific purposes, including public safety radio communications, infrastructure development, and debt service at the college. So, we definitely have expenses where you could target these revenues that, could directly tie in.
But at this juncture, the one we're most concerned about is our general fund. So, while those made sense probably when they enacted them, given the current situation, it'd be interesting to find out if it's still relevant and has it added value to what they had earmarked it for.
Right. But just, for a point of information, though, yeah. Like the hotel tax goes towards tourism, but it's not. There's other money that goes towards tourism. And so if you turned around and you paid, in other words, said it's earmarked for infrastructure, we know very well that we're going to be paying. If we bring in, we can bring in $1.5 million, shall we say, a year. Well, we know damn well we're going to spend more than $1.5 million on infrastructure anyway. So if you earmark it for the infrastructure, I don't know what our infrastructure costs are a year, but I'm sure they're well over $1.5 million.
Yeah, they are. So that's what you would recommend? Is that in here? I don't think it is. Do we have to, at this juncture, identify what we're using it for?
If we're listening to basically what Attorney Pascal points out, that if you put that in, I believe you don't necessarily have to, and then you can put it in later, but sometimes it may be more sellable to the state by saying you're going to be earmarking it for certain monies, and sometimes they go, okay, yeah, earmarking it for infrastructure, so that may be more sellable and more, palatable to the people that are carrying it.
Chris, do you have an opinion on that?
Yes, I also agree with the chairman. While I don't think it's necessary, I do think for purposes of getting it passed, the more specificity in this regard would be better.
So if we're going to do that, would we consider doing both based on the conversation here, or do we want to keep it just at the one?
I think we should do a straw poll, if that's okay, because I know I would like to do both.
Yeah, we'll get some short straw then.
That's not a straw poll. Yo-do.
Heidi?
Yeah, Lynn, what is currently the going rate for a real estate transaction fee for the sale of a home? Is it 6%?
It's 4.
Okay.
$4 per 100,000, is that what you
right.
mean?
Right, yeah. Right. Do you have an opinion, Heidi, on going one tax or both tax if we put some limits, and obviously we would want to try and see if we could run some scenarios based on those limits. So if we put a 200K limit and on the one tax, and then on the sale, the transfer tax for the seller, if they're enhanced STAR, they'd be exempt from the tax, which would give us some insight. I don't know if we could get to that one from kind of a back of the envelope.
Can you just clarify, if you're selling a home for $275,000, are you telling me the agents are taking 4%?
I'm not telling you what the agents are taking. I can't discuss what the agents are taking because everybody
Well, six percent is the going rate, just by interjection. That's customary. 6% is customary.
So 6%. So that would be 6% of a $275,000 home is $16,500. Am I doing that right?
What are you calculating?
Yeah.
When you, I'm not when sure what you're trying to get at.
So when you sell your home.
The brokerage fee.
Yeah. Yeah. When you sell your home for $275,000, I know that there's a 6% fee. So is that, am I calculating that right as $16,500?
Yeah.
Okay. So off the top, you pay $16,500 for the real estate fees?
No. Well, real estate fees are different than broker fees. So there's what we're talking about here is a real estate.
Oh, I know. I understand.
Okay.
What you're talking about. Yeah. So okay. Real estate fees. So I'm just saying, as the seller of a home, so out of the cost, the profit that I'm going to make on my $275,000 home, I pay approximately $16,500 to the real estate agents. Approximately, correct? Okay. And on the same price home, I'd have to pay an additional $5,500 in the transfer fee to the county.
No.
So on a $275,000.
No, it wouldn't be. It would be about $600. I think it'd be about $600, wouldn't it?
Okay.
March.
Hold on.
Yeah.
I'd have to do that. Yeah. I don't need a calculator out.
Heidi, there is, if I can interject, an existing transfer tax paid to the state, which is $4 per thousand. The proposed here, I think, is $2 per thousand. So it'd be $6 per thousand if you add the two together.
Can you break that to me from if we use a $275,000?
You're paying the state right now a $1,100, and you'd be paying us another $550 on top of that.
Right. It would be $550 for that if we put in the transfer tax.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yes.
Yeah. I get the same number. So it'd be $550 if we had no exemptions.
Sure. Yeah.
Now, well, if we had I don't necessarily agree with a $200,000 exemption because I think you would be, missing a lot of numbers. I think $100,000 would make more sense, and still that means somebody sold a $275,000 house. It would turn out to be my wife's at a meeting in her other room, and I'm getting cut. I'm sorry. She's actually at a meeting, community action. So my thing is that the $100,000, you would save $200 on that, so it'd be $350 that you would be paying in that transfer tax, and that would everybody. That's if we gave a $100,000 exemption, and if somebody's in the house for more than 15 years, if they owned it for more than 15 years, we could make the thing that they don't pay any, or make it a reduced one. I don't want to get too much exemptions. The numbers are not that high in the first place, and then is it really worth the aggravation if you're going to end up bringing $300,000 in and then having to actually sell a new tax, shall we say. I mean, the nice thing about this is it is paid by the seller. Now, when you brought up the idea of the real estate agent getting that, but that's because you chose to go through a real estate agent to sell your house. If you sold it without a real estate agent, you're not paying any of that.
So, you're talking about the homeowners that are in their house for X number of years. I think we may also hit exclude a significant amount and folks that are at the higher end as well. So if we used Enhanced Star, that's homeowners over 65 with incomes, combined incomes less than 86.3. I think that may be a better way to protect the concern that John had, which was folks that have been in their house a long time, who this may be their asset and their retirement fund or part of their retirement fund. I think approaching it from that perspective will get at it and protect those individuals, and probably a good number of them will be in their homes a significant period of time. But if you put time, then someone with a, you know, who can afford to pay the tax, who maybe is sitting in an $800,000 home, will be exempt just because they've been in the house a long time. And I think it's got to be primary residence, which Enhanced Star requires as well. And so that, I think, is a state acknowledged guideline that could help us as we go through this and ensure that we're addressing those concerns. Tracy?
So, I mean, just to one thing that you just said, you know, I think the idea of primary residence and Enhanced Star makes some sense if that's the thing we want to address. But to suggest that that a house, let's say someone lives in a house that now is worth $800,000, it's yes, that's a lot of money. But when we think of these thresholds, there may be many people in Ulster County who have lived in their house for, you know, I don't know, 40, 50 years, and who don't have a 401k and a retirement. I mean, I know that my father-in-law and mother-in-law, you know, raised their 10 children in a house in Hastings on Hudson, and their, you know, basically their whole retirement setup, he was a TV repairman for his life, and she was a stay-at-home mom, and their retirement was based on the sale of that house, which was a significant sale value, but paid for their rest of their life care. So,
but they would probably in Enhanced Star, right?
You know, at that time, I don't know if it was Enhanced Star, but it probably, but yes, I mean, I think that they would be eligible for Enhanced Star if it were their house now. So, I just want to make sure that we're not, you know, making, that we need to think through in terms of judgments about the value of the house in relation to the age and the value to that person. Like, and again, we can ultimately make whatever decision we want. We just have to be thoughtful about that conversation. And whatever decision we make, we're likely to, there are going to be outliers within that category who maybe don't deserve that break. But I think we if we're going to do it, we need to default to protecting those who really do potentially. So that's my two cents. But I do think that this is complicated. I want to back up and I have one quick question, probably for Chris. Earlier, Ken had said something about he was speaking to Council Pascal's point that we would have to write all of this into the home rule request, and he was speaking about it in relation to making this age related. I'm wondering, I mean, nobody right now is talking about making this strictly age related, but is that allowable to make this strictly a function of age? That would strike me as some kind of prejudicial choice on our part to say that you're exempt if you're over a certain age.
Well, you get exemptions in taxes if you're over 65 or with certain other criteria, and if you're under it, you don't.
Can I ask that question to council? I mean,
yeah, sure. I mean, I do know of instances where there are exemptions based upon age. I'd have to refer to the other county's law to know if it's being done in New York State in any other county with respect to this type of tax. Offhand, I don't know the answer to that. But I do know in other taxes, there are age restrictions or exemptions.
Okay. Thank you.
Lynn?
Yes.
Can we, maybe we, what we need to do is find out exactly what is it, five counties that have the transfer tax. Is that correct, March?
Yes.
Maybe let's see what they have. What do they have on their books, or what type of exemptions have they put in?
I was not able to find any exemptions for those, except for Columbia County's exemption for under $200,000 in value.
And what is the population of Columbia County? Do you remember? Because I was wondering what they brought in versus their population to try to get an idea, you know, like Broome County and Schenectady County and Rensselaer are similar in population to us, but I'm not sure about Columbia.
On the recorded mortgage recording tax, Dave?
On the transfer tax.
The population is around 59,000 people.
Oh, all right. So they're the ones that brought in about 300,000, I think.
No, that column is potential revenue that Ulster would receive if we used their tax rate on our 2019 transactions. That is not their revenue for that tax.
Okay.
I'm sorry if that is misleading. That is our potential revenue if we were to charge the same rate.
Okay, I had Heidi and Eve. Heidi, would you like to go first?
When we talk about doing the, going along the same lines as the enhanced STAR exemption, you know, has anyone considered the possibility of the enhanced STAR disappearing?
No. Why are you hearing it, May?
You never know, it's a turbulent time. Just putting that out there.
Yeah. Eve?
Yeah, so I guess what it would be nice to see, and I don't know how easy it is to estimate what percentage of the houses are eligible for Advanced STAR, but I think at this point, seeing a set of this, you know, for both taxes, the revenue, well, what March already provided, the revenue, if we just put them in, and then if we had, even if it was a rough estimate of if we made the $200 cap, if we excluded people who had enhanced STAR, and just so that we're actually looking at actual numbers to make this decision. And I'll say to speak to Heidi's point, you know, we can conceivably put in something if this passes with enhanced STAR and it goes away, then we would have to just make you know, I guess we'd have to pass another one that provided other parameters, or, you know, who knows, we may want to change this down the line for other reasons as well. But I feel like I would like to just see these different options and understand what they entail.
March, could you help us with that?
Not at this moment, but over time, sure.
What does that mean?
Come on, March, get this out.
Okay, what information do we have about houses and enhanced STAR? Do we know, like, by property value? Do we just know percentage? I mean, what do we know? Anything? Yeah, okay.
Lynn?
I'm not sure. I think we're going to have to find out through real property if we have an understanding of how many properties, of the properties we have listed in the county, how many are enhanced. I don't know if they have that information. Do you know, March?
I think you can get that information through the state.
From the assessors or from the state?
Yeah, I think you could probably get that information from the state. I don't see why. I mean, they have to have records of it somewhere because they're the ones that they hand out the enhanced STAR. Let me ask us, I know, March, you gave us the local county mortgage recording tax. So a transfer tax will be similar in amount, other than the idea it includes also cash transactions, where the mortgage tax is only going to it's only going to be collected with somebody actually getting a mortgage. So when I'm looking at like Broome County. Now, Broome County has, I think, around 190,000 people, probably about 10,000 or so more than us. And their collections was 1.116 million. And then Schenectady, who has only 155,000, collected 1.5 million. So I'm looking at that numbers because we're using the same number, 25 cents on 100. We just put it, you know, round it out differently. So it should be similar to those or somewhere in between. So Broome County has more population collected less. I don't know if it's because of the value of the houses or maybe they have other things in there that, exempts.
I think our property values are higher than those two counties. So that could make a difference as well. Yeah.
And the number of transactions.
Well, I think Schenectady's property values are probably higher than ours, aren't they?
Maybe. I don't know the answer to that.
I don't know about Broome County, but Broome County, who has a significantly more population than Schenectady, collected a lot less. And I'm wondering if they don't have some type of exemptions of sorts in Broome County's mortgage tax. But I, if we can find out what other, even with the mortgage tax ones, how they did exemptions, maybe Amber, you could send out something to those counties that collected those, that mortgage taxes and the real estate, and find out what exemptions they may have. They probably have that handy, and their budget people probably know that well.
I will certainly look that up.
Legislator Guevaras?
So, Marsh, can you go back and explain the numbers that you're quoting us and where you got your total figure from? Where did that come from out of the clerk's report?
Which, it's not in the clerk's report. Which number are you talking about, mortgage or real estate transfer?
So you said a number earlier, and I thought you said it was based on the mortgage recordings that I may have missed.
No, I was talking about the real estate transfer tax, and when I gave you a value, and that amount is pretty easy to figure out because the clerk's office identifies how much New York State received in 2019, and what we're talking about is roughly half that.
What was that number?
4.6 million in real estate transfer tax, and they charge $4 per 100,000. And the resolution proposed here charges $1 per 500 or $2 per 1,000. So that's half of what the state charged. So if the state received 4.6 million in 2019, we would have received approximately half of that. There's a little bit more of a, you know, a specific calculation. You can back out the value of the property from the state number, the average value of the property, which was between $192,000 and $195,000, and there were 6106 transactions. So that's the way it was figured out, John.
So that you're talking about the second page 16 of that report you sent me.
I honestly do not have that open right now, so.
Okay, all right.
I have a lot of other things open, but that's not. But that, he's talking about the clerk's annual report.
Yeah, 4.6 million total receipts?
Yes.
For New York State?
Okay, yes, I found and it. That is $4 per thousand. And if we were gonna do half of that, then our revenue would be half of that.
If you go to page 4 of the report that Marge sent us, it's right there, John, of the report we sent out.
No, Marge just sent me something separate.
Okay.
He likes the original data.
He likes the hundreds of pages. Okay, so, John, I'll remember that next time. Okay, any other questions?
Yeah, what's next?
Well, I think we've got some work to do to say if we do both taxes, if we set a limit on both of them at some level, what's the impact? And we'll find out what the other counties are doing. Go ahead, Marge.
I would just like to offer, I will reach out to Nina and see if she can give me a list of transactions by value so we get some sense of idea of like, how are the transactions looking specifically right now?
Okay.
You know, and how many transactions they were and what the value of them was. Because again, the NYSAR data that I share, which is New York State Association of Realtors, it's only single family homes, it's only residential, and real estate transfer tax covers a lot more. And then I will also connect with Amber on the idea of what these counties are doing. I do have citations in state law, but, and these, my data came from, in part, my mortgage recording tax data came from New York State Association of Counties. So I can help her see if there's anything more specific there.
Okay. Yeah, so in the STAR, there are STAR credit issued reports that are available to assessors and county real property tax directors. So I don't know who those people are, but there are reports that are put out on 45 days after the final date the school tax bills are due. They have these reports.
March, maybe you could check with Director
Tracy. She has it, definitely. I am looking at her exemption like lists here in her report, but here it is. The senior STAR exemption. Yeah, I need to talk to her about this because this is kind of like what each town exempted. But yes, I am certain that the Director of Real Property has access to that information. Yeah.
Go on.
And I know she'd be more than willing to share it. She's really great on the data.
Great. John?
Yeah, I just think as granular as we can get the data, the better. I really would like us to have a model set up that we can play around with and figure out if we do X, what will Y and Z look like? I really like the idea of playing it and seeing it and what the impact is going to be, because some things I'm comfortable with and some things we're discussing I'm not, especially not knowing what that impact would be for a person. So the more granular, the better.
Chairman Dalton.
Yeah, and I agree with John, and I also believe that, you know, we need to know if we are making exemptions, how much that's actually going to cut in that end of the tax levy for us, because, you know, is it going to be worth it if the numbers are not there? That has to be an understanding also. So I would really like to know, even with the mortgage tax from others, because even though this is a real estate tax, the transfer tax we're talking about, we can still get an understanding through the mortgage tax on where others are creating exemptions that they created. At least we have an idea, so we're not totally reinventing the wheel. I mean, we're going to make our own wheel, but we can use others as our guidance.
Okay, so that perhaps between Amber and March, we can come up with a way of doing that based on your numbers, March, and we'll work together to see if we can come back to this group with some ideas and maybe even an Excel spreadsheet that will say, okay, what if we do this? What's the impact?
A little sensitivity analysis. So you guys could drop in like the change in rate and then see what it does, right? I mean, that would be ideal. What we really need
to make a dashboard.
It's going to be tough to be, it'll be tough to be exact, but we could at least get a flavor. And I think that's what we need.
Yeah. Okay. If we know the transactions that have been happening and how much each of them are for, it would really help us. Yeah.
I think that would. Great. All right. Well, thank you. And thank you, everyone. I mean, is there any other comments, anything else anybody else has to say before I ask for a motion to adjourn?
No.
Nope.
And a motion.
I would have loved for you to have taken action on that resolution. Did I miss it?
We have more work to do.
Right.
So I move postpone the resolution.
Yeah, why don't you postpone it then?
I made a motion to postpone.
We're just gonna, okay.
Or take no action, either way, but.
I don't think we should take an action. We could postpone at the next meeting because if we postpone now, it's only postponed till the next meeting anyway. So let's
It was postponed till, this was a special meeting for this purpose.
Yes.
So you can postpone this to a specific meeting if you want.
Oh, okay. So
make a motion to postpone it to the next special set meeting that we have for dealing with this particular thing when we decide to have that meeting.
Second
that. Okay, good. So we will get back to everybody as to what that date is once we have the data. And thank you all for input and your help, March. Thank you. And Amber, I'm going to appreciate the help you're going to give us as we go forward. So thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Yes. Bye.
Motion to adjourn.
An ordinary day.
Motion to adjourn.
Call for, you didn't call motion. The vote.
Oh, thank you, John. All in favor of postponing to a future date.
Aye.
Aye. Again, I want everybody to have an ordinary day.
Okay. Adjourn. Chairman Donaldson's
motion
adjourning.
To adjourn.
And yes. And John
second.
Is
second.
All in favor.
All right. Aye.
Thank
aye.
You, everyone.
Night.
Take care.
Yep. Good night. More work, Amber.
That's all right.
Yeah. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.